Chillax, a podcast where you listen to this, our boy talk about life, news, and anything interesting. Welcome back, everyone, to a new episode of the Chillax podcast. I hope all of you are doing well. Today's episode, again, is unedited. I realized, right, doing this for about 3 weeks already, 3 episodes of unedited podcast, kind of makes me feel so much better as compared to the times when I was doing the edited podcast. It was very stressful, I feel. And back then, I was recording. And you know, when you do the podcast, then when you edit it, you hear all the small things that annoys you, all the stammers, and it's just annoying. And it made it very stressful. It made this whole, I suppose, creative hobby very stressful. And just being able to talk without having to listen to yourself say stupid shit, do stupid stuff, it's nice. But at the same time, I have to grapple with the fact that I also want to improve, right? Improve my speaking skills. Maybe when I have more time, I'll do it. It's more of like a give and take, right? Or like a compromise. Like maybe 50% of the year, I do free flow conversation. And another 50%, I'll do edited kind of conversations. We'll see how it goes. But for now, I'm really finding enjoyment again. Just being able to talk freely without any, without being reminded that I speak like shit lah. But today's episode is all about achievement, because you know, recently life has been very, I would say, very down, very sad, very negative for me. I think it's just the, I don't know, maybe it's work stresses, maybe it's just a constant reminder that you are single, you haven't dated before, you haven't had a relationship. Being ghosted kind of sucks, even though it's very common when you get too invested in it. And then I'm just seeking some form of like happiness or gratitude, right? And I think when you are feeling the most down, it's nice to kind of remind yourself of how far you have come along and the good things that has happened to you, which has not happened to some people who are not so lucky. And you know, so I thought, why not just do the 9 achievements I'm proud of. I wanted to do 10, but I can't come up with 10. I'm like stretching it really. I'm really stretching it. If you talk about like daily things I'm grateful for, it's very easy to come up with a lot of weird stuff, like a lot of random stuff. Or I'm glad that today is a cool day. But I think having 9 achievements, it's a pretty good way to just start talking about something, and it lends more. It gives me more things to talk about, like more stories. So the first achievement that I'm really proud of is doing well enough academically to get into uni. I think coming from, I wouldn't say it's north side. I like to keep repeating, like I like to stereotype, like north side is like the shitty side. But having come from like a neighborhood school that's not that great, you see a lot of like your friends and they just didn't do very well. I think I say a couple of times before, like half of my express class went into ITE. I think, I'm not quite sure whether that is the correct number or not, but that was what I was told. And it's quite bad. And it's not that ITE is terrible or not. I mean, it's the standard like Singapore stereotype of ITE is bad. But just overall, it's not just the ITE thing. It just didn't gone on the expected path of what, I suppose, a well-to-do academically person would be, right? It's like they never go to uni, they just started work early, they are not getting paid enough. And I'm just kind of happy to be able to do somewhat well in my O levels, even though I didn't study at all. I remember back then, I was told to study, then all I did was just sit there, stare at the books, then I got distracted. But I got super lucky. Then I was able to like narrowly cross like the express cutoff point by 1 point. So I was very lucky. Even though I didn't study, I see my other friends, they studied and they still didn't get that many points to get into express, you know, and they still cried. I was like, fuck. Or maybe they didn't study, I'm not too sure. But I was like, looking at them, they're so sad, they tried so hard. But then I didn't even do any work, you know. Then I got 189, crossed the cutoff point by 1 point, right? And I was able to get into Express. If I wasn't able to get into Express, right? I would never have been here today, having finished uni, getting a stable work, right? Because I feel that a lot of this kind of progress, opportunities, these life stages, these new places, being able to attain them, is very, very much like, how do I say, you need to put in effort. And but in this case, I didn't put in effort. I was very lucky to be able to get that kind of points, to get into Express. And at the same time, all these things are kind of like, you need to be lucky enough because they are all linked together, right? In order for you, for me to get into uni, I had to get into Express class. And after I get into Express class, I have to do well enough to get into a good poly or a good JC. And then from there, I can get into a university. And I was very, very lucky all the way through. I was able to get the 189 points to Express. Then after that, I was able to get 14 points minus 2, which is 12 points in O levels, which is the top 20% already. Like, how ridiculous, right? I'm quite sure some of you who are listening might have been from good schools before, and I've spoken to people from good schools. The kind of expectations of points is so different. Like, other schools is single digit. Then my school, right? 2 digit, 12 points can get top 20% of the cohort already. How ridiculous, right? So 12 points, I was lucky. I mean, I put moderate amount of effort. This is the first time I actually put effort into studying. So I put about maybe 30% of my effort. I just went along with everyone, try and study a little bit, but still get distracted at the end of the day. I was able to get 12 points. And a lot of my friends, even though they study, they might not have studied that hard, and they were very lazy, they were still playing games. So I was quite lucky being able to score that kind of points. Then going into poly, I was able to go into a good poly course, being exposed to different kind of people with different kind of background, people who are more smarter than me. They are very good at writing, good at speaking. Then that's where I got the influence. I became better as a result. And also the course that I was in, like the drama psychology course, that really helped me a lot, because we are able to do, we did a lot of like social stuff, like workshops, things that benefit the community. So it allowed me to create this portfolio of like things that I did that other people didn't. Because other people, maybe you go business course, all you did was study, internship, maybe one internship, that's all. Then as compared to mine, I had internship, I also had like the all these social community events, right? And that leads to the university part, where I was able to get into university, even though I wasn't able to do well enough to get into the big three local uni. I was able to get into a new local uni, right? And the one of the new local unis were prioritizing a lot on like social community contributions. And with that portfolio, it was enough to kind of convince them to kind of let me in. And that being a new local uni, the cut point, the competition was also quite low, because nobody knows about it, right? I mean, people know about new local uni, but not, I mean, it's a last choice really. Like, you really no choice, right? Then you go there. Otherwise, you go to private U, right? Private U also, I mean, it's faster, it's better as compared to local U. It takes longer, right? I mean, as your private U is 2 years, local U could be 3 or 4 years. So I was lucky to get into local U, and then going to local U, I was also at the same time lucky to get like overseas opportunities. And then with that, I was able to stack my resume with a lot of experience, and that led me to here, where I was able to get like job offers. Then I got my job, and my job is, everybody is nice there, it's a good culture. So I mean, I've been very lucky all the way through, and that is something that I don't know, at the end of the day, this is not really an achievement that I'm proud of, but I did put in effort, so I probably should be proud of that. But luck played a huge part as well. So that is the part that I'm very grateful for. Yeah. The second one, graduating uni and having a job. Yeah, I touched on that also. I realized that. So the whole story from starting from secondary school, primary school, all the way to getting to uni and having a job. I mean, graduating uni during COVID was tough. There was traineeship. but there's not enough to go around, then I think they increase it at the end of the day. There's more like traineeship, but you didn't really, if you're not good, you didn't really have a choice. You have to do things that you never studied before. And I was lucky. I was very lucky. I have a lot of like accolades down on my resume, right? I was good enough to be considered, but I was never good enough to be accepted. Because when you have so many candidates that are looking for a job, then your companies can always choose the best fit. Doesn't have to be, I mean, okay, they will be the most capable, but they can find the most capable that best fits the job. And that was the challenge. I was capable, but I wasn't the best fit. So I couldn't get into like your Grab or your Shopee. Like, I got into like second rounds, but I never really sealed the deal. Because like there were some people who have like relevant experience, but I didn't really have relevant experience. My experience is with something else, right? So that's that. But in the end, I was still able to get full-time job instead of going for traineeship. Traineeship was, I suppose, not, I mean, even though you get like full-time pay, but it's not as good as like your actual full-time offering, right? So that's the second one. The third one is having saved enough to get a house. I think this is a recent achievement that I'm proud of, like having come from a poor background. I think all of you have heard before, just being able to save enough money to not like pay for the entire house. I mean, I don't have that much money, but to be able to, like, if the government decides to lower the requirement from 35 years old for single people to buy a house to 30, I can get a house now. I can like do the down payment. I can pay for some of the renovation, not all the renovation, but I have enough to do all the basic stuff to just get out of my own, living with my parents, right? So that is something that I'm proud of, being able to save that much money. And then the next one that I'm very proud of is doing this YouTube and podcast. I keep on saying a lot about this. Like, I'm very proud of this, having done this since the start of COVID, or even before COVID, for over 2 to 3 years really, and having achieved what I achieved. It's not big numbers as compared to other. I'm not super famous. Famous is, being famous is not something that I care about. At the end of the day, it's being fulfilled, having that sense of creative fulfillment, and also earning some cash on the side, lah. Just some spare cash that can allow me to just maybe get coffee. That one is from the YouTube. The podcast doesn't earn any money. Maybe for the few like $5 support that comes from the Patreon page. That one I haven't cashed out yet. So I'm just collating that, and hopefully one day I have enough that I can just withdraw. Then we can kind of do the video podcast and the video live stream. But so far, the podcast is not anywhere near what I want. But at least, there are people listening to this podcast. It gets scarier and scarier every week, every month. Because I see the podcast, right? The amount of listeners just keeps growing. It's not growing astronomically. It's growing slowly, but it's still very scary. It's like about a year or 6 months ago, there was only like 150 listeners. Then now it's 250, close to 300. I was like, shit, 300 person listening to this podcast. If I imagine this 300 person standing in front of me and me speaking, it's pretty scary, you know. It's like you're speaking in front of the whole company, but the company is not even, okay, my company is not 300 people lah. It's like my own office is about maybe 60 or even lesser. Then I can imagine 300 person. That is very terrifying. So, but nevertheless, I mean, it's 300 people that care enough to listen to me, my unedited conversations, and listen to me ramble about random things, right? So that is something that I'm very grateful for, that people actually, I don't know, care. Is care the right word? People listen. Yeah. So this is the one of the achievements that I'm proud of. The next one is surviving for that long. This is a bit morbid. Sometimes when I see people dying, not close friends, just friends of friends or people that you're acquainted with, or not even acquainted with, or you know, and you realize how fleeting or how human life is, like, so I forgot what's the word to describe it. It's just easy to die. It's very easy that your life is just gone in a second, right? that you never know. You have no control over this kind of like extra variables, third party variables that can cause you harm, right? And sometimes it's not just this kind of external variable that causes that causes your death. It could be deep trauma from your childhood, psychological problems that led you to suicide. And that is very scary because I've seen both spectrum, right? I have like seniors in poly that is a counselor that committed suicide, and I was like so surprised, man, like why he did that. And when you heard that he did that, it's like life is so short. And I'm just kind of happy that I'm just grateful that I didn't have those trauma that will lead to this. Sometimes I contemplated it. But then there's always like other factors, right? Like very simple stuff like, oh, I still want to live. I have friends that I want to hang out with. I enjoy hanging out with my friends. I still want to watch my Marvel movies. I want to see what is coming up. I mean, when Marvel released their like what 5 years timeline, then I want to see the end, alright? I want to see Kang, Thanos, like the big villains fight, right? So this kind of simple stuff really just keep me like going. And also I want to see Rick and Morty ends. Yeah, I think Rick and Morty played a huge part in my life, even though, you know, it can seem a bit crass, like the scientist is burping, people have a very bad kind of impression of it, right? Like a lot of young boys, very stupid boys, do things like, I think the Szechuan sauce, that one, that was quite a big debacle. But overall, I think it really taught me about the meaning of life. Like, I mean, we are born into this world with really no purpose, right? I mean, if you are not religious, you are born into this world with no purpose if you think about it. And it is up to you to find meaning. And you can find it through religion, you can find it through your social relationships. But it's just this stark realization that you need to create this meaning for yourself to keep going. And in the face of suicide, I think this meaning kind of keeps you grounded and not committing suicide and not dying, because like if you just choose to die, there really is no point anymore to life, right? Or life is so terrible that you want to avoid it. Yeah, so that's the trauma part, and also like death by external variables that like you have no control. Like I think I have a, I don't know whether this is something that I could share or not, or it just feels very like doesn't feel right, but I have like a BMT, like, you know, in NS, I have a BMT mate that is, he, because I'm PES C, there's a lot of people with various problems, right? And this guy really like deep, I don't know whether that is counted as deep very well. He had a lot of allergies, but despite all these allergies and this weak body, he still decided to like, you know, serve NS and become like PES C and still do some army stuff, because if you are PES E, you're not doing as much anymore, right? So this person is PES C and he had a lot of allergy. So every time the things that we eat, he can't eat. And his allergy is so strict that he can only eat specific things. And he sadly, I think he passed away. And when I saw that happen, right, I'm not quite sure what was the reason, could be allergy or whatever. It kind of made me realize for a moment, this is like the first time I attended like a funeral for somebody that is that young, and I wasn't sad. I just feel it's just kind of a point of revelation that like, oh my god, life is so short, man. Like it can just go, it can be gone in a split second, and I do not know how to wrap my head around it. And even to this day, I'm just wondering like, wow, you have no control over this, you know? If it happens, then it happens. And also, it kind of make me realize how lucky you are. If you don't have any allergy, if you don't have any physical problems, mental problems, you are actually quite lucky to begin with already, because you have a healthy body that is good enough to allow you to do whatever you want, right, in this world. And that is something to be grateful for. Yeah, so that's that, surviving for that long. The other point is surviving Tekong. So surviving Tekong, I think Tekong is something I know. Like I'm from PES C, whatever that I'm doing is not as good as like the PES, the healthier people, right? Because the healthier people, they do a lot more vigorous exercises, and they do a lot of like road march and everything. But then PES C, you don't do as much. You do lesser also. Your duration is shorter. You're just doing a lot of things like some simple exercises, touch and go kind of thing. You're just there to experience some parts of it. And I mean, it wasn't the exercising part that is the tough part, like the part where I have to go field camp. But it is the loneliness. I think the BMT in Tekong kind of, it wasn't an opportunity, but it was a period that really kind of like, it is this experience that really brings out like, it is a realization that I'm like alone. I think you have a lot of like situations where you have to call your parents. You also have a lot of situations where, like example, when you are there, you call your parents or you call your loved ones. And then when you travel to Pasir Ris, you go to the Tekong Island, you also have that kind of opportunity, right? And when you come out of your confinement, there's also that kind of opportunity, as in opportunities to hang out with your loved ones. That is usually what you should be doing, right? And that is the realization that I had, where wow, shit, I'm alone, man. Like, I mean, it's not that I'm sure my parents can come and fetch me, but I wasn't that close with my parents. I don't really have a good relationship, and since I don't have that, I also don't have the partner. I don't have like a girlfriend, because when you are inside Tekong, all you see is, oh, they talk to their loved ones. If they are close with their loved ones, their family, then they will talk to them, have fun, laughing. Or they talk to their girlfriend, then they have girlfriend to like kind of bring them out, like go and enjoy, kind of rejuvenate yourself before you go back to serve, to work in Tekong, right? To like do all the strenuous activities, go back to be tortured. And that was nice. And then when you hear about, there was like a period, if I'm not wrong, after confinement or whatever it is, no, not after confinement, when the BMT or the Tekong ended, right, there was a 1 week period where you are forced to take leave to kind of like wait for your next assignment, right? After you graduated as a soldier, you are assigned to some other places really. And during that period, you have a 1 week leave. And everybody was talking about how, hey, they are going overseas, they are traveling there. Then at that time, I was like, fuck, I'm not going anywhere, man. They are going with their partners, they are going with their family, but I wasn't going anywhere. And it felt very sad. And it made it even more worse, because in Tekong, right, the island is directly under the flight path of aeroplanes, of like commercial airlines. So every day you exercising, you morning, you wake up, the entire day, you know, literally the entire day, you just keep hearing planes flying by. And then you look up, and then when you're stuck on that island, you have no control, you have no freedom, right? Then you look up, wow, shit, good life, yeah. And when these people keep on talking about, they are going overseas, right, then you realize they have something to look forward to, but I don't have. And that make that moment, right, that whole period was just depressing, man. It was very depressing when you are not close with your parents, you don't really find that kind of comfort or joy from hanging out with your parents, when you don't have a partner, when you are not going overseas at all. It was tough. It was very tough, man. And I'm just glad that I survived this. Like, I have friends. I mean, it's not that I don't have friends back then, but at least now I don't have to experience this constantly face this kind of loneliness, right? I mean, I can go and hang out with my friends. That's not too bad. I can do this content stuff to keep me occupied. So that's that. Yeah, so the next point is surviving poly. I remember poly was also quite challenging. Like, poly was before Tekong, right? I think coming from secondary school and poly was such a different kind of experience, because people there were just very different. They come from very different schools. They were more eloquent. They all speak very good English. They were very smart. And I gone to an art school. And when in art school, people are very different in terms of personality. They are different in interests. It was tough, man, just trying to fit in. And I think it was more of a just inability to adjust. But I'm just glad that throughout the 3 years, I managed to find friends that I can relate to. And I have different kind of friends that I managed to make friends with, like people who are more liberal, people who kind of challenges my own kind of viewpoints, and we are still good friends to this day, and I'm just happy to be able to just adjust and survive poly. I think beyond poly is also something that I'm proud of, is having friends. I think this is a very big kind of thing, right? Where I don't know, when I see other people, there are people who are like, I saw on Reddit, if y'all are not familiar with Reddit, it's like a forum page where people just post about news, talk about stuff. Then there are people confessing that they don't really have friends, and it's very sad. And it just always make me realize that, okay, even though I'm introvert, but I'm just lucky to be able to make friends. And is that an achievement? I'm not that sure, but at least I make an effort, and I'm really achieve something to have a lot of friends, right? As compared to like my parents, and then as compared to other people, like I have friends that I can hang out with, I have friends that care. It's just nice to know that. Yeah, as compared to nothing, no friends, right? It's kind of sad. And then the last one, being decently dressed. I think this one is something more, I suppose, superficial. I remember back then in secondary school, I wasn't very good at dressing well. I wear like 3/4 pants, I wear t-shirt, and it wasn't very nice. I think I was constantly mocked by other people when we go out. And when all my seniors, especially when I was in volleyball, all my seniors dressed like all jeans, like they dress, I suppose, nice in that era, in that generation, or that particular decade. And I was dressing like shit, and I was just constantly mocked by them. And it wasn't nice. And when I go to poly, I think I thought I improved a little, but then I realized it's still pretty shitty. Then I think it's only when I reached army, then I started to kind of dress somewhat better. I think end of poly, I started dressing somewhat better. And that is nice. I think as much as it was painful to be mocked by other people, I think it was necessary to kind of get me to this point, right? Maybe it would have been better if they said it nicely, but I'm not quite sure whether I would have taken their advice if they said it nicely. But I'm just happy that I reached a point where I'm not particularly fashionable, but I dress well enough to not be mocked by people. And that's nice. Yeah, I think maybe it's just the past bullying and this kind of mockery that makes it very traumatizing. But I'm just happy where I am right now, that I'm dressing alright to not be constantly mocked by people. Yeah, so that's the end of this podcast. It's kind of quick. I don't want to talk too much. I don't want to overrun too long, right? And hopefully, there's not too much ums. I realized, right, this is something that kind of annoys me a lot. That when you do a podcast, you really hear a lot of weird noises. Like, I think I told my friends before that actually our mouth, right, make a lot more noises than you think you do, right? It's like when you talk to people, you don't really hear those noises, but when you listen through a podcast, you can hear those noises. So forgive me if you hear some weird noises. It's like when your mouth, like a bit too wet, a bit too dry, also will have problem, because your tongue and the way your mouth move, it will create interesting noises, and sometimes you'll hear it. And I don't know why, man. Maybe it's stress. Like, I think I'm not sure whether I got said this in previous podcast episode before. Maybe it's like getting older. Maybe it's stress. I feel that I have a lot of acid reflux, and I feel like I constantly, like my stomach is constantly churning. There's a lot of gas. I don't know, man. And it's bad. And I can't just keep talking nonstop without like burping and everything. Maybe it's stress. I think I got consulted a doctor before. And they say, oh, you need to stop drinking so much coffee. And you need to stop drinking so much alcohol. But without these things, how do I survive, right? Like, how? But anyway, that's the end of this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And if you have enjoyed it for quite some time already, you might want to consider the Patreon page. For as cheap as a taping, you can get additional bonus podcast episodes. And then all this money will go towards creating the video setup, giving me the freedom to explore different kind of content. And I will see you guys next time.